Okay, this is a relatively short one, but I wanted to do another compare and contrast a story in Bavli and Yerushalmi. It's been on my mind doing, you know, the more Yerushalmi you do, the more that's how I'm thinking, so I wanted to do another one. It's a short one on Tefillah that appears in Brachot, both in the Bavli and in the Yerushalmi. And again, I want to analyze the Agadot and see what the difference is. There are a bunch of longer Agadot. I want to cover in Brachot. I've been told I must cover Shadim at some point. So yeah. I will. I want to do, at some point, Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu Machloket, which is in Aviyod. Maybe Remeir and Buria, I'm not sure. Yeah, this is fun. It's a little bit farther down, but it is. It's good. And then it's a short one, which is good because it gives us the time to really analyze it. You know, the longer ones, you know, they go on, but I want it to sort of get our feet wet, so short ones are good. Okay, so we start here. What we're going to look at is a few stories about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and Tefillah, okay, as it appears in Bavli, as it appears in Yerushalmi. And as we're going to see, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is known for two things, maybe more, but two things that often appear when it talks about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and often together. One is prayer, one is tefillah, and the other is miracles. And those are often related.
Does he do one about rain and kindness?
He's among those, yes.
Like,
right, those are fine.
The rain is too much and too little.
No, that's Choni HaMa'agel, right?
All right, no, but he did a different one.
Those are great. I was thinking about doing Choni HaMa'agel, actually, this week, on an overview of Bavli and Yerushalmi. Specifically comparing the version of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi.
They're different for that, too?
They are. They're very different. Both parts of the story, both the rain part and the second part of him falling asleep for 70 years.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The Rumpelstiltskin, not Rumpelstiltskin, yeah, Rumpelstiltskin, no, not Rumpelstiltskin, Rip Van Winkle. Rip Van Winkle, the Jewish Rip Van Winkle stories. They're also different in fascinating ways. But now we're going to talk about Chena Mendoza. So the Mishnah tells us in Brachot, HaMitzbalel V'ta'a, if someone davens and he makes a mistake, Siman Ralo. It is a bad omen. V'im shliach tziburhu, and if he was the chazan, siman ra l'sholchav. It is a bad omen for the people who sent him, meaning the community. Mipnei sheshlucho shaladam kmoto, because the messenger of a person, the person's agent, is like him. Amru alav al Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. The source is over here. Amru alav al Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So they used to say, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, kishaya mitpalel al acholim, when he would pray for the sick, and he would be able to tell, V'omer zechai v'zemeit. He would say, that one, he's going to live. And that one, he's going to die. How? Amr l'mitai netayodeh. How do you know? Amr lahem, im shgura tfilati bifi. If my tfila is fluent, right, it flows, yodeh ani shu mikubal. I know that God accepted it. Vim lav, yodeh ani shu mituraf. And if not, I know that it's not. It's torn up. Okay, that's how I know. Right? Not because he was talking too fast, he was distracted, his Hebrew wasn't so great. No! Right?
And presumably,
it's like Yom Min HaRa'im time. My tefillah doesn't come out of my mouth because those words in Slichot are... Right? No! Right? That's not why. Right?
Presumably it is like, he probably
is
like, oh, Jesus said that, so he usually was bad perfectly, and then he made a mistake, I want to make some.
Right. Meaning, right, he's an expert, and God would symbolize to him, this guy, your tefillah is not being listened to, and the way that would happen is he would start stumbling over words, right? It'd be like, right, normally he's an expert chazan, right? He would say it beautifully, I don't know, he's an old school chazan, refrain, Hashem v'nei rafe, I don't know, right? El mole rachamim, you know, whatever, I don't know, right? And then, every so often, right? Right? He'd accidentally, I don't know, say you know, El Mole Chema. Oh, wait, God full of wrath. It's probably not a good sign. I don't know, right? I don't know exactly what he means. Fine.
Maybe he also was like, oh, every battle off, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what would happen. But now we get a story that builds on this, okay? So in the Gemara, in Lamed Daled Amud Bet and Bracha, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ma'aseh Shechalo Chala Bino Shel Rabban Gamliel. The son of Rabbi Gamliel once got sick. What? Presumably. Or some other son, I don't know. Shagar Shnei Tamidei Chachamim Eitzel Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa Levakesh Elav Rachamim. So two students went to request that Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa daven. There's a source over here. As soon as he saw them, he ran up to the attic and started davening for them right away. The attic, the roof. Biridato. When he came down, Amar lehem lechu shechalatzto chama. Go, because he's fine, right? The fever is broken. He's good. Amru lo, and they said to him, chinaviata, are you a prophet? Amar lehem, lo navi anochi, velo ben navi anochi, I am neither prophet nor the son of a prophet. Where's that from, by the way? It's not his own phrase. From Amos? No, yeah, from Amos, right? I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of the prophet. I am a cowboy. He didn't finish it that way. Amos finishes that way. He doesn't finish that way. No, I kid you not. No, that's actually what it is. Bakar. I am a bakar, right? I am not a cow. A bakar is a for the verb. But anyway, not the verb. It's a cowboy, a herder. Western cocaine for a second. This is actually almost like a prophet. Elakach mikublani. But this is what I have, this is my tradition. Imshkurat vilati bafi, if my tefillah is smooth, yodani shemikubal, so I know it's accepted. Vim lav yodani shemiturah. So yashvu vikadvu vichivnu otosha. They were like, wow, that's impressive. Okay, let's test this. So they said, what time is it exactly? It is 6:43. And then they went back. Shabbat etzel Rabban Gamliel. Amar lehen ha'avoda. Lo chasartem lo hutartem alakach hayamaseh. So they came back and they said, what time was it exactly at which your son's fever broke? And he says, I swear by God. Ha'avoda, I swear. You are not off by a second. Not early, not late. Alakach hayamaseh bodasha chalatzto chama. V'sha'al lanu mayim lishto. At exactly that moment, the fever broke, and he asked us for water. V'shuv ma'aseh b'Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, shahalach lilmod Torah etzel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There was another story. The Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa went to learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, v'chalo b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and his son was sick also. Amar lo, Chanina b'ni, said, my son, Chanina, b'kesh alav rachamim v'yecheh, pray that he should live. Heniach rosho ben birkav. He stuck his head between his knees, right? Uvikej el abrachamim, and he davened, v'chayan, and he lived. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, ilmale hitiach ben Zakkai, rosho ben birkav. Kol hayom kulo lo hayom mashkichim alav. If I'd put my head between my knees all day, it wouldn't have helped. Amra lo ishto. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's wife said to him, v'chi chanina gadol mimcha. What, is chanina better than you? Amar lo lav. No, he's not. Ella hu domeh ke'eved lefnei ha'melech, v'ani domeh ke'sar lefnei ha'melech. He's a servant before the king, and I am an officer. And I'm greater than him. But you know, sometimes servants can elicit compassion in a way that other noblemen cannot.
After you say to his son, you're going to say that.
Yeah, it's a great story. Great story. Now, I don't know whether that's tongue-in-cheek. I have no idea, okay? I don't know. Sometimes it's very hard to tell. Okay? But let's get a few stories together, and then let's try to analyze them, right, as a group, okay? So let's get the picture down here. Specifically, we're going to, right, this is all background. I want to get the picture down, right, and the main story is actually very short. Okay, but what do we see? He's very good at tefillah. He's miraculously good at tefillah. Yes? Good. Gemara in Yevamot says, Tan Rabbanan, Ma'aseh b'bitosh r'b'chuneh shel Nechunya chofer sichen, shenafla lebor gadol. The daughter of Nechunya fell into a pit. Uvo v'hodil l'rachinen b'ndosa. They told Rachinen b'ndosa what happened. Sha'a rishona amr lehem shalom. Shni amr lehem shalom. Shlish amr lehem alta. Right? The first one he said peace. Second one peace. Third time, she's out. Amar la, and they said, Biti miha ela, who got you out of the pit? Amar lo, Zachar shirachalim nistaminli v'zakein manhigo. There was a ram, right, the male of a sheep, right, which is a very weird way of saying it, appeared with an elderly man leading it. Amar lo, Naviata, he said, how did you know? Amar lahem lo navi anochi, lo ben navi anochi, ela davar shatzadik metasego yikashel bo zaro. He said, I know because something that a tzaddik is involved in, right? This was Nechunya Chofer Zichen. He was a well digger for Olel Regel, right? He helps people. So his daughter should die in a well, right? That doesn't happen. So I know he's saved. Okay, again, he's this quasi-prophet, miracle prayer worker. Right? This is his identity. The most striking of all the stories, right, is the one Josh mentions, which is in Tanit. Not, it's part of that series of stories, not the Chayim HaGel, but it's a long one, as you can see here, right? It's quite long. And we'll tell you the story. Rav Chanina Mendoza avikaz v'borcha atamitra. Chanina Mendoza was traveling and it started to rain. Amar lepanav, he said to him, Rabbono shel olam, kol olam kulo banacha v'chanina b'tzar, the whole world is happy because it's raining in me. I'm in pain. Mapitom, what? I don't have an umbrella. Pasak mitra, it stopped raining. Chimata levede, he got home. Amar lepanav, he said to him, Rabbono shel olam, kol olam kulo b'tzar v'chanina b'nachat. What is this? I'm home, nice and warm. I have hot chocolate. But now the world is upset because there's no rain. After Mitra, it started raining. Umber of Yosef. Maya Hani lead slot the Kohen Gadol, Lagabe Rav Chanina Mendoza. He said, my God, what exactly is the purpose of the Kohen Gadol's prayers compared to, right? Kohen Gadol, Yom HaKippurim goes in and prays, right? Chanina Mendoza says, I forgot my umbrella. Stops raining. I'm home having hot chocolate. It starts raining. I mean, like, come on, right? Fine, it's not. I am at Falal Filakta Rabbi Veda Chitzon. My Masle, Rabbi Baradav, Rabbi Shavayim, Shemed Rabbi Huda. He said, what do you mean? Because the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh Kodashim, he would say, Yiratzum Alfanech Hashem Elokeinu Shetei Hashana Hazug Shuma Shchuna. May this year rain, Shchuna Mal Yati, Avira Griyute, Elaim Shchuna Gzeg Shuma, Atlula. Right, fine, whatever exactly the, right, the balance of heat and rain, and etc. But the point is the last one. And the Kohen Gadol specifically says, don't listen to people who are traveling. Right? Objectively, we need rain. Ignore the travelers. Right? And in the meantime, Rav Chanina Mendoza says, I don't want it to rain. Yalla, it stops. Rav Acha Brei de Rava Misayim Yishmein de Rav Yehuda Lo Yade Avid Shulten Mizei Yehuda Val Yamcha Yishal Tzichon Lepanez Nemizeh V'lom L'macher. Okay, that's the end of the Shila. Next paragraph. Amar of Yudamarab. Bichol yom bayom bako yotzeit ve'omeret. Every day a divine voice comes from heaven and says, Kol ha'olam kulon nizon bishvil chanina bini. The whole world is sustained in the merit of my son Chanina. V'chanina bini, dayo bikav charovim erev Shabbat l'erev Shabbat. And Chanina bini, what is he sustained on? It's sufficient for him to have one kav, like, I don't know, like a liter or two, right, of carobs for an entire week, okay? It's not like you guys complaining. It's like, oh, there's not enough cereal. Ugh. It's like, here, I'll give you, 10 carobs. Yes, exactly. I'll give you 10 carobs for the whole week, okay? This would save much money in yeshiva. Well, at the beginning of the week, right, each Friday, we'll give you a 10 carobs, you know, enjoy. Fine? Yes. Have a regila debitu lemechma tanura kol mahalei deshab davishadi akarta mishum kisufa. So his daughter, sorry, debitu his wife, they had no food. So she used to basically throw like sticks into her oven to burn them just so that.
Sorry.
1 second, right? Because it was embarrassing that they didn't have any food for Shabbos. Have a lehachshivuta bishta. And Amra Michli Adanat Litluhu Vlomidi, and her neighbor said, I know they're poor. What's going on? What food do they have? Maikulehai. Azla Vitarfa Abava, right, she came and knocked. Ichsava Vailandura, right, she like surprised her and she was embarrassed, so she ran out. Right? It's Avid Lachnisa Dechaza Dramala Lachma. In the meantime, the neighbor peeks in and it's full of bread. The oven is full, 25 loaves of challah. Va'agna malalisha plus overflowing dough on the side of the right for the next batch. Amra la planita atya masa de kacharech lachmech, and she says, "Woman of the house, lady, right, your bread is burning. Come down, right." So miraculously, because of her embarrassment, right, this bread pops up. And Amra la fana lachyer, he said, "Yeah, I was coming." Tana av hi lahavi marda nechnasa, and the Gemara says, "Wait a second, was she lying?" No. She wasn't lying, because she knows. She's just used to miracles. That's what happens if you live in Chanina Mendoza's house. There are miracles all the time. And Amar led the bitu. So at some point, his wife said to him, I mean, my God, how much longer do we have to go on like this? I mean, you are a miracle worker after all. Shamrallah, my Navid, so what do you want me to do? She says, Bai Rachmein, Navid Achmidi. Davin! Bought Rachme, so he did. Yatzak him in pisat yad v'havo lechatara diptora d'zahava. So a hand came out of heaven and with a golden chair leg and handed it to him. But then Chazya b'chalma, but he had, then had a dream that atid tzadik d'achla aptora d'zahava d'beitlat kare v'at ochelet v'ihu aptora d'dekare. But he had a dream that all the other tzaddikim in Gan Eden were sitting at three-legged golden tables, and he was sitting at a two-legged golden table. Okay, that's where his gold leg came from. Right? So Amralai, Nichalach Lamecha Akli Kule Alma Aptura de Mishalim and Aptura de Michaser. So he said to his wife, are you okay with that? That everyone else will have a three-legged table in heaven and we'll have two? Amralai Umainavid said, what should we do? By Rachme the Nishkalinu Minach. Davin should go back. By Rachme the Shaklua. So the hand came back and brought it back to heaven. And Tana, and then it says, Godal Hu Nesa Achron Yoter HaMarishon. The second miracle was greater because Gemir Demev Yaveh Mishkal Lo Shakli. God likes giving, not taking. Chad Beishimshere Chazya Lebarti David Asiva. Once he saw that his daughter was sad. Amrle biti lamayatidas. Why are you so sad? Amrle kli shel chometz nitzchaliv li the kli shel shemen vidlakim in or l'shabbat. I'm sorry. I meant to light the oil for Shabbat and I accidentally lit vinegar. Amrla, what did he say? Biti maichvela. So what? So what? Vinegar. So it doesn't burn. New. What's the problem? Misha amrle shemen vidlok. Who Yomar Lachomet Yidlok? The God who said that oil burns, he'll tell the vinegar to burn. Nishkefelach. Tanai Adolagolakolim Kulo Ache Viumin or Lavdala. And it lasted so long that they were able to use it for Havdalah. Okay? Or until they brought the light for Havdalah, something like that. Okay, so what picture do we have of Chanina Mendoza? And maybe we'll come back to some of these stories. But what right, undeniable impression do you get of Chanina Mendoza? What? Right, and what are his two qualities? Tefillah and miracles, right? Tefillah and miracles, right? They go together, right? He's awesome tefillah person, and he performs miracles. Sometimes they're joined, sometimes they're not, but that's who he is. He's a miracle prayer person, right? That's his personality.
He's also a pretty extreme aesthetic.
Oh, he is such an aesthetic. Oh, my God, right? Yes, he is such an aesthetic, right? I mean, carobs, I mean, really. I mean, okay, to be fair, I think they taste better than the ones you get in America, because, like, in America, they're all dried, and they taste, I mean, they're horrible, right? I mean, like, they're really, I mean, right? It's always like, right, you get the dried fruit tuba shvat, and you're like, okay, dried apricot, I'm fine. Dried dates, okay, I mean, that's intense sugar, I got it. Dried bananas, I don't know what that's to do with Israel. Carrots! Right, I mean, you know, the only, you know, it's like, it's a healthy person's fake chocolate. I mean, which is not really true because chocolate is good for you. I mean, come on.
Yeah, in moderation.
In moderation. But I don't think carobs are good for you, not in moderation either. I don't really know. But, yeah, in moderation. And, you know, if you don't have milk chocolate.
It's not good
like,
for your teeth.
A, milk chocolate is not so healthy. B, honestly, people.
You don't like milk
chocolate? I mean, like, no. Like, dark, the darker, the better.
No.
Good, rich, dark chocolate.
White chocolate.
Oh, my God.
Whether or not you have a soul. It's interesting. White
chocolate. No, the answer is no. It's kind of... No, like, obviously, like 72 is okay. 86, like, that's, you know, 86, 90% are, that's already, like...
0% white
It's very rare that I have any desire for a Hershey bar. Like, Ghirardelli is like 86% dark chocolate, or the dark chocolate, or even better, the dark, like, the bitterness of the chocolate mixed with right, they have an 86% chocolate mixed with sea salt, caramel with sea salt.
Okay,
that is, like, so good, because the balance of the sweet and the salty and the bitter, I mean, it's... What's, I mean, if you're going to have milk chocolate.
White chocolate is more
no.
What is that, yeah?
The Gemara seems to be pretty important, yeah, it's much better.
Yeah, right. So definitely there are other interesting things here, right, where there's this assumption that Tzar in this world comes at the expense,
yeah.
Right? And that's why it does seem to be, right, that Rabbi Chanina Mendoza is a miracle worker, but not for himself, right? And even the miracles that happen to himself, right, it's never when he asks, right? I would almost tweak it. It sounds like the simple shot here is that Schar in this world comes at the expense of Schar in Olam Haba if you ask for it.
Right.
Right? If it happens, if God chooses to give you a boon, so yalla, that's fine. Right? So that's why there were miracles that happened, but yes, asking for it. Now, it could also be, the other implication of this Gemara possible is that it's not true for everybody, but it's true for Chinan Mendoza, because since the whole world relies on his schut, right, it's like he's using up. Right, he's using up his rights for everybody else, right? But not for, right? But if he also wants for himself, he sort of needs to tap into something else, right? So there is some, right? There's clearly something going on here about the balance of schar.
What is the line about the taking God doesn't take? Because it's not that God's taking, it's that he's just putting it back.
God's first. Taking back, he's, right?
No, but it's not like God was giving it to him. God was taking from one thing of his and
right. So
it back.
Right. So I think that in that sense, it's really right. The Gemara is very much this worldly, right? Meaning the fact that that's true in an ultimate sense doesn't change the fact that's not experiencing. Right here, his wife and him thought they could live in the lap of luxury because now they have a huge block of gold, right? And then they daven for God to take that away and then go back to poverty. And even if in the long run it's better, right? The Torah, even with an aesthetic, mystic, ethereal Ruchinian Mendoza, still. Right, the Gemara is very this worldly, right, and that's considered taking away. Yes, even though it's giving it back to them in Olam Haba, I think that's one of those points that emerges. And again, maybe we'll come back to this, but I want to focus for a moment on the main Gemara as it appears in Bracha. Okay, and this is very short. Yerushalmi and Bavli. Okay, here's the story. I'll give you the Yerushalmi first. Here's the story appears in the Yerushalmi. Nachash karucha kevo lao yafsik. Right, the Mishnah had said that you aren't allowed to stop davening, even if you know there's a lot of snakes around your foot. Okay, Shmon Esrei. So Rav Chuna b'shem Rabbi Yosi lo shanu ela nachash. So Rav Chuna says that's only a snake, because not all snakes are poisonous, not all snakes bite. I don't know, whatever, something like that. Right, there are snakes around, like you'll see. Right, in Israel, there are always snakes around, especially in places that are more wood, not so much in Modi'in probably, but, right, a lot of, even when you live in, like, you know, a city, they're often right near, right, whatever, a forest, right, there are snakes in Ephrat, right?
What kind?
All types. Yeah. Some poisonous, some not. If I can find, last year we had, like, someone just found, like, a huge snake. It was like what? Just, like, on the street. I don't know. Anyways, it was funny. I went hiking. We went on a mild hike over Sukkot over here. You know, Nachal Kedumim.
Yeah.
Right. So we went. They have their big event every year is the Sukkah event. Right. They build all the Sukkot from Mishnah. Right. But it's also a national park. So we went on the hike, and we were walking on the hike, and someone like in front of us like walks, and then like 5 minutes later runs back screaming, "Ah! Huge snake! A huge black thing!" I'm like. Okay, so we're all like sitting there, what do we do? I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and check. And then I saw it was like a 200-foot black hose that was watering the thing. I'm like, that's not a snake. That is, it is indeed terrifying, very scary. But it was like, you know.
Is this the longest snake ever found?
It was ridiculous. But my kids know which ones are poisonous. Oh, that's a sepha, that's a this. I mean, like, I have no idea. It's a very poisonous thing. I don't know what it is. A viper, I think, but I'm not sure exactly. They teach the kids in school. It's like, it's unbelievable. We go on hikes, and, like, I pick a flower. My kid's like, no, you aren't allowed to do that. That's an endangered flower. I'm like, what is that thing? They're like... I'm not incriminating myself. Someone's going to arrest me. I'm like, because they're apparently very illegal. I'm like, I was like, I did not know that. Like, that's this. This is it. Oh, that. I know what that is. I'm like, okay. I don't know. Anyway. So, but he says, Aval Akrav Mavsik. But a scorpion, you're allowed to stop. Lama. Mechaya, v'chazro mechaya. It comes, it bites again. Right, meaning it's more dangerous. Okay. So, Rav Ela amar lo amar ela karuch. Aval im aya martia uvakeneg dareza mastir milfanav. Uvachil yastigit filatio. Right, so the Ravila clarifies again. He says, if the snake is rapping, but it doesn't seem to want to attack you, so not so bad. But if it's ready to strike, so don't interrupt your shmona, say, just back away. Right, then you are allowed to move. Okay? I honestly don't know what snake they're thinking about. I don't know. Right? Like, I just don't know. Right, certain snakes, presumably, you see them run. Like a spitting cobra. You run into a spitting cobra, run. Okay, run.
Don't they, like, pinch your eyes?
Yes, and they blind you. Correct.
What?
Correct.
Wait, yeah.
Yes. What? No, you're not going to spitting cobra here. There's no spitting cobras here. No, please, I only know about, the only reason I know about spitting cobras is my mother kept running into them when she was in the Peace Corps. My God, and, like, in Botswana. Botswana. In the 70s. So it was like the middle, it was like, she lived in a hut in the desert, you know, for 3 years. So like in the hospital there, she said like spitting cobras came out of the toilets. Like it was like, yeah. All these life lessons I learned, my mother's like, yes, the way you strike it is that they can only spit in your eyes if they have pressure. So what you have to do is you have to flip them into the air and break their skull while they're in midair. Yes. My mother said, like, it happened, she said at least twice. And the first time, like, she was terrified, but, like, one of the, like, the local women, like, her and, like, an American doctor, and then, like, one of the local women who was used to it, like, ran in, like, you like, grab it, like, flip it into the air, and then, you know.
I mean,
so if you have that.
You can see them.
I don't think that's a good idea for a sport. That sounds like Russian roulette.
You could be just like standing up, like getting ready to attack.
Yeah, so if you're saying if it's doing that, then walk away. Right? Stay in Shmoneh Esrei, but walk away.
You know, just don't break any concentration.
Correct. Tani, hayomin v'lo ba'asratya, or b'platya. If you're davening in a public place, in the Bavli, we call it asratya or platya, a public square or a public thoroughfare. So if you see a donkey barreling at you, move. Don't interrupt your Shmoneh Esrei, just move. Amru Alav, and now, of course, with this background, where we say, so what do we establish? What's the halachic principle here?
You can move if you're in danger.
Correct. If you're actually, this mamas to go out and never let him move. But who's the exception to all rules? Of course. Amron ala Rav Chanina Mendoza, Shayomin b'Palel. So once Rav Chanina Mendoza was davening, Muva Chavarvar v'Hikisho. Chavarvar was some sort of very super poisonous creature. Okay? And it bit him. V'lo hifik et filato. And he didn't stop davening.
Well, you can't if it burns me.
V'alchu matoto Chavarvar mate. In the meantime, what did they do? They found this poisonous creature dead. Mutal pichoro. It's some sort of like poisonous snake or something. In it found it dead on its hole. And then they said, Amru, oy lo la adam shenashcho chavarvar. Woe to a person who was bit by a chavarvar. Oy lo le chavarvar shenashach ruchinina bendosa. But woe to the chavarvar who bites ruchinina bendosa. Okay? Ma iske dahan chavarvaraya. What exactly was going on with this thing? Karavei nachid lebarnasha. In barnasha kadim lemaya chavarvarar meit. Normally the rule is like this. If you end up in conflict with chavarvaya, so then you both should run to water. And if the person makes it to the water first, don't ask me what this means yet, right? Then the chavarvara will die. When chavarvara kadim lamaya barnasha made, and if it makes it to water first, you will die. Amru lo talmidav. So now his students say, Rebbe, lo hir gashta. What, you didn't even feel it? You didn't feel it? Amru lahen yavo alai mimashaya libi mitkaven b'tfila imir gashti. He said, may I be punished, right? Meaning, may I die? Let the consequences of having been bit take effect on me if I noticed. I didn't even notice. Amar Yitzchak Bar Elazar, So Yitzchak Bar Elazar says, Amar lo kadosh baruch hu, was it bar lo la kadosh baruch hu ma'ayan tachat kaput raglav? God had created a wellspring beneath his feet, l'kayem ha-shamar, ratzon yirav yaseh v'shavam yishma v'yoshiim. Before we analyze the story, I want to read the Bavli, and then we're going to analyze both. Okay, that's the Yerushalmi's version. The Bavli's version, number 6. Tanu Rabbanan is the Gemara Bracha Lama Gimel Adalas. Tanu Rabbanan, ma'aseh b'makom echadshe arod, b'yamazik edabriyot, another poisonous creature, an arod. Bovo, dielo rechinim mendosas. They came and they told rechinim mendosas, amr lehem, heru lechori, please show me the hole. Hereyu echoro, they showed him the hole. Notan akevo al piachor, he put his foot on the hole, so that it would bite him. Yatza v'nashcho umeit otarod. And it came out and bit him and died. Not rechinim mendosas, the creature. Natlal Ksefo, he put it on his shoulders, ve'avil le'beit ha-medrash, and he brought it into the Beit Medrash, and Amar Lahem, and he said, Re'u Banai, my children, I want you to see, Ein Aron Meimit, it is not these poisonous creatures that kill, Ela Hachek Meimit, it is sin that kills. Ba'oto Sha'a Amru, and that moment, they said, Oila Adam Shepaga Ba'arod, Ve'oila La'arod Shepaga Ba'arod, Chanina Mendoza. Okay, good. Now, what is the difference between these stories? And what is the message in the stories? And this is, again, from Yafa Zolcha, but she says, right, you can find stories, simple stories, not that long, but the Bavli and the Yerushalmi present them in just enough of a different way that you get totally different perspectives. So, let's try to figure it out. What's the point? Tell me the differences. And by the way, she points to the fact that these are, she thinks these are differences, not just here, but in general, between Haggadah and Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So she says, okay, what's the difference? You tell me. Right? They're similar stories, right? But what's the difference? What differences do you see in the stories? Okay, one's a chavarvar, one's an arod. Okay, I don't know if that means anything, right? But how does the story subtly present? There's clearly a common tradition.
He's not davening the second.
But he's not davening the second. Good. What else? So one thing she notes, right, and she proves this in many different places, is that the Bavli, she argues, is much more didactic, meaning the Bavli more often presents an Agadata with an explicit goal of teaching a theological lesson, which often it articulates explicitly, right? Right? In both stories, the Chanina Mendoza, the miracle, right? He's saved. It should kill him instead he kills it. But in the Bavli's version, he literally parades it into the Beit Midrash and uses it as an opportunity to give a Musar Drasha.
Right.
It is not the snake which kills. It is sin. And I have never sinned, so I don't die. Right? Right? It becomes a dramatic Musar Shmuz.
Right.
Right? The Bavli's Agarata is explicitly didactic. It's telling you a story, right? Like you read the Bavli and you know what the lesson you're supposed to walk away with is, which is lo, right? Lo ha'arod meimit, ela ha'chet meimit. That's what you know. He parades in the Beit Midrash. Second point is that often, right, one of the interesting things, and many people have pointed this out, is that you'll have an Agadata in the Bavli, an Agadata in the Yerushalmi, and you'll get a change of scenery. What is the scenery for most stories in the Bavli?
The
Beit Midrash. Right? And what's the scenery in the Yerushalmi?
The house.
Well, not the Beit Midrash. Wherever it happens to be. Right? Because the Bavli, right, the Bavli tends to, right, everything happens in the Beit Midrash. Like, that's where lessons are learned. That's where, right, even this one, which didn't happen in the Beit Midrash, the lesson has to be learned in the Beit Midrash, right? Like, that's the imagination of the Amoraim in Bavel, right? That every story, no matter where it happened, it really happened in the Beit Midrash. Whereas...
That's what their
center was. What? Right. Yeah, exactly, right? And in Eretz Yisrael, it's not true. Right, Eretz Yisrael, not true. Now, Why is that? So many have suggested that the Yerushalmi, as in general, is more grounded in everyday life, right? That it just doesn't experience it that way. But it's just not the way it thinks, right? This is one aspect. We'll come back to it. I hope to do this story. But right, one of the differences between the Choni HaMa'agel stories is this point. Right? The Choni HaMa'agel story in the Bavli very famously ends with him going to the Beit Midrash, no one understanding his Torah, and him saying, O Chavruta, O Mituta, right? And then dying, right? Either a Chavruta or death, right? And he dies, right? That's not how it ends in the Yerushalmi. In the Yerushalmi, where does it end? First of all, he doesn't die at the end of the story in the Yerushalmi. Second of all, it ends in the Beit HaMikdash, right? It doesn't end in the Beit Midrash. He's never in the Beit Midrash. Right? So often the same stories will be retold in the Bavli in the Beit Midrash, where the Yerushalmi will tell it in real life.
Are these stories, like, so we're saying only the Yerushalmi one happened, that Bavli is just a twisted version of it? Actually,
no, I'm not saying that.
But did both of these stories happen then?
Probably not. Remember what Rav Rambam said? There are many Agadot where there's a historical core, right? And then they're retold in a way to tell the lesson. And therefore, which one... is one of them the true historically and one is being retold, or are both of them taking some sort of something that happened and retelling it in a way that could work?
Or
they both happen. Those are all possible. Right?
It's not recording it for history.
Right. Yeah. But at the end of the day, even if they both happen, so why does Yerushalmi know of one and the Bavli of the other or bother to tell you? They don't tell you every story. And so again, however you want to take it, is it that they both happen and the Bavli chooses one over the other? Is it that there's some historical core and the Bavli tells it in a certain way? Shalmi tells it in a different way. Remember, that's around and around the point. There can be a core that's true, and then you elaborate, right, to teach a lesson. What's the purpose of the story in the Yerushalmi?
We'll show how powerful.
Yeah, that's it. Right? And this is something else she points out, is that often, like, the Yerushalmi will tell a lot of these stories without the theological lesson. Right? What is clearly the theological lesson of this story? Nothing. Rav Chanina Mendoza is awesome. He is a miracle worker. Like, that is the point of the story. No, this story. Whoa, one second.
Maybe not create a Jewish character, but take a Jewish character and invest them with a measure of their own power.
You would, but that seems to not actually happen in the Agadotas, right? That the Agadotas, the Yerushalmi is a lot more just miracle stories. We're here, it's a miracle story, and then we gotta get the Musar Shmuz afterwards, right? To like, in case you don't have the point is not what you thought. Remember, no, think about Tynan. What is the point of the miracles? Think about miracle, 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 and what's the story, what's the lesson? So one is, as Jonathan pointed out, and Ellie points out now as well, is you can only get your reward in one place, right? But there are other lessons there. Right, think about it. What's the other lesson there? Are there any didactic moments, explicitly didactic moments in the Bavli, in that story? Daughter, don't be sad. It's not really oil that burns. God makes things burn, right? It's like, right, in his house. Family, gather around. I am giving a Musar drasha now, right? This is what he does, right?
What about the
Look, every story, what?
The rain, when he asked for it to stop for him, and then...
Okay, so that's part of a whole series of stories on rain, right? I mean, so yeah. You have to understand it in context. Not everyone. Obviously, the Bavli also has miracle stories, right? But another thing, and remember, we saw this last week also, that you always have to wonder in a story whether the Gemara is trying to make you walk away with the belief that this is something you should carry to your own life. Remember, we saw that with Rebbe versus Rav Pinchas ben Yair, right? The Bavli goes out of its way to make sure that first, it teaches a theological lesson, but then what does it do that the Yerushalmi does not?
He's also teaching it to other people.
So, yes. And what else? Then what does the Yerushalmi do? Then what does the Bavli do? It tells you, by the way, this is not how you should act. Not you. Right? Remember. Because it says, it ends the story with, Oy lo la Adam. Right? normally, if an Adam meets an Arod, so he's going to die. But if it's Ruchanina Mendoza, Oilo La'arod, Shabagabev Charina Mendoza. Now, why is that important? Why does the Bavli tell you that? Why does the Bavli, tell me why the Bavli tells you that. Good, but why else? Because where is this Gemara found? In the context of the halachic discussion of what you should do if a snake is on your foot. Right? And what is it telling you? Yes, it's telling you, the Bavli goes out of its way to say,
you should move.
Don't do this. Like, we're going to tell you a story, we're going to teach you a theological lesson from it, and then we're going to tell you, but that's very good for Ruchina Mendoza, but you, I told you the halakha, which is, if there's a snake which is going to bite you, or there's a donkey that's going to run you over, move.
It's interesting.
Right?
Sometimes we've had questions whether, like, other notes are, like, relevant to the halakha that there is in the context of it.
Right, exactly. But how does it tell you that? Instead of saying, this is not the halacha, what does it do? It says, it gives you this nice, oi, gaval, right? But it, what's it really telling you? This is a very... Exactly. Here's a halacha. Here's a story you might have heard of that contradicts it.
And here's the explanation.
Here's what you should learn from the Ruchina Mendoza story, which is sin kills and not snakes. And here's what else you should learn. That's Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. And you, when there's a snake, if it's not a poisonous snake, so let it wrap around your foot. And if it is, move. Right? Move. Right? The Bavli is very explicitly, right, in terms of how it teaches theology, in terms of how halacha, it's, here's a story, here's a lesson, and here's a lesson you don't want to draw from it. Right? Halachically, hashkafically, right? It's very explicit. In the Rishalmi, first of all, the point of the story seems to be, Chanina Mendoza is great, right? But there's another thing that's interesting about the Rishalmi. Right? Two other things that are very important in the Rishalmi. One is that on the one hand, right, you tell me, in the Bavli, is the point of this unit fundamentally about miracles?
No.
It's not about miracles. The miracle teaches the story, teaches you the lesson about the balance between sin, right, and natural consequence, right? But the miracle is just the means by which we teach that. And then we tell you, and by the way, that has no practical implications on your life, right? This story is the opposite of what you as a normal person should do, right? But in the Yerushalmi, the story is about the miracle, right? So, therefore, what would you expect? If the point of the story is about a miracle, then what would you expect? Suddenly the miracle becomes the content of the discussion. And therefore, what do you get in the Yerushalmi you don't get in the Bavli? A machloket about the miracle. What's a machloket? Right? You have two shitot, which is the first daya is simply it bit him and it died. What's the second daya? That no. The miracle wasn't, there's a natural, don't ask me why this natural phenomenon works, right? But that when you're bitten by a chavarvar, what you're supposed to do is run to water. And whoever gets to water first wins, right? And what was the miracle? That God magically put water by his feet, so he won, right? But you see that's a machloket. What a machloket is, did God change nature, or did he miraculously make it that Chanina Mendoza was saved by nature? Right? So you have a subtle machloket, which is the better type of miracle?
Interesting.
Right? Is it one where the miracle breaks nature or that God miraculously channels nature? Right? Which is, and that makes sense because since in the Yerushalmi the focus is the miracle, what you get is a theological machloket about the preferred type of miracle. But then Yafizuch's last point here is my favorite. And it's very subtle. In the Bavli, again, what's the point of the story, the end of the story? What's it relate, right? It's to teach you the halachot of Tshiva, right? If you have a snake challenging you, then run. Ruchania Mendoza didn't have to, but that's just his hint, right? So it comes to teach you other lessons in the meantime, but the main point in context just to tell you, right? Don't use this as a counterexample to the halacha that if a snake's going to attack you during davening, you should move away. What's the Yerushalmi? Why does the Yerushalmi tell this in the context of tefillah? What's its main point?
Show you kind of great.
Yes, but in what way? Half of it is a miracle, but there's something even more important. Why is this in the context of the parameters of tefillah? Think about it. Because in the Bavli, was it a conscious decision?
Oh, right, because you're so absorbed in tefillah.
Yes, exactly. In the Bavli, the point is that it's a conscious decision. Because what's the Gemara trying to teach you?
You should.
That if a normal person would move, if you're Hanina Mendoza, you can consciously make the decision to rely on the miracles because you are Hanina Mendoza.
Yeah.
Because the point of the Bavli is to teach you the halacha. What's the point of the Yerushalmi? In the Yerushalmi, it can't be there to teach you the halacha because
he didn't
notice. So what's the point?
To show you that...
To show you...
Someone who relies on... You can't rely on miracles.
No. He didn't rely on the miracles. He didn't notice.
You're so great.
No. It can't be that it's teaching you don't rely on the miracles because he didn't know he was relying on the miracle. What's it showing you? Exactly. Right, but not the miracles. At first you would think the miracle is the point, but it's not. The miracle is actually secondary. What are you supposed to be impressed of?
That he didn't notice.
Exactly. That... Right? The point is, right? Because what was the Mishnah? The Mishnah was you should be so engrossed in tefillah that nothing stops you. And look, Rabbi Chanina ben Doza didn't even know that, notice that he was bitten by a poisonous animal. Once he was bitten by a poisonous animal, once we got you impressed by how good of a daviner he was, so now you have to say, okay, but how did he not die? Well, not only was he super impressive in how devoted he was to tefillah, but he's also a miracle worker. Right? But the point of the Yerushalmi is to show you how engrossed you should be in tefillah, because it's true that you can't rely on the miracle, but you are supposed to, right? This is a big difference. In the Bavli, are you supposed to try to mimic Rabbi Chanina Mendoza? No, because there, since it was a conscious decision to rely on a miracle, it's saying you can't, and therefore learn not to be Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, but be impressed with him and learn his theological lessons. In the Yerushalmi, are you supposed to mimic Rabbi Chanina Mendoza?
Yes.
Not because you can mimic him in the miracle, but because the main thing we're showing about him is not that he's a miracle worker, but that he's absorbed in tefillah. You didn't notice. And once we tell you he didn't notice, so now we have to explain to you, I didn't die. And Mimela, we get into, don't just be impressed by how frum he was, be impressed by how miraculous he was. But that's not the point of the story, right? The point of the story in the Bavli is to teach you the opposite of the halacha. This is an acceptance of the halacha, but not what you do, because the Bavli assumes it was conscious. He made the choice, and you shouldn't make that choice. And the Yerushalmi, you're supposed to be impressed by the fact that Chanina Mendoza didn't make a choice, because you're supposed to mimic how absorbed he is in tefillah so that you wouldn't notice. It happens to be that when he's absorbed in tefillah, he's also Rav Chanina Mendoza, so he gets saved. Right? You would probably die, but that's not the point. Right? The Yerushalmi is trying to show you how engrossed in tefillah and show you to mimic that side of Rav Chanina Mendoza. The Bavli is telling you he's conscious and telling you don't just learn the lessons from him. Right? And that's why if you want to now go through what the Yerushalmi is actually doing, it's actually brilliant. Because this is the flow logic of the Yerushalmi. The Mishnah says be absorbed in tefillah. Don't even let a snake wrapping around your foot distract you. And Rav Chanina Mendoza once even got bitten by a snake he didn't notice. Right? And that's what you're supposed to learn. And then it says, well, wait a second, you're probably wondering, wait, well, what happened to him? Well, you know, he's a tzaddik. And as we know, his tzitzkut is often tied to tefillah. So don't worry, it worked out well for him. Right? He lived. And then once we move to the second stage, which is he lived because be impressed by how miraculous he is, and he can do miracles because, hey, he's so frum and he's such a good davener, then it can say, oh, we can have a machloket about the nature of miracles. What's a better miracle?
Right.
Supernatural or God supernaturally directing the, right, the natural. But that's because Yerushalmi is coming at it from mimicking his absorption in tefillah, and therefore everything comes from there, as opposed to Bavli, who assumes it's conscious and therefore assumes it's halachic and assumes it's didactic, right? So it's almost the same story, and yet the Bavli and the Rishonim, in the way, the focus of the story, the way they tell the story, are teaching completely different lessons as to whether we're supposed to mimic him, not mimic him. Right? Is it about the halacha, or is it about kavana and fila? What's the lesson that's even coming out of it? And that, I thought, was just fascinating. When you take this tiny little story, at first glance, it's the same story, and then you realize, no, there's the same core, and yet the Bavli and Yerushalmi are using it to teach completely different lessons, completely different messages of Rechini Mendoza, and completely different lessons about whether you can be Rechini Mendoza. According to the Bavli, do not. Right? According to Yerushalmi, yes, be Rechini Mendoza. You may not be saved, but that's not the point. The point is have that type of kavana. Yeah, I thought it was a very brilliant piece. It's very short. It's very pointed. Okay, good.